This is Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy.
Buccaneers have come out with it. McCoy strips the ball away.
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
A quarterback sacked by G-Mac.
Now your host, TJ Reeves.
And hello there. Welcome to another edition on a Wednesday night of Buccaneers Total Access with number 93 as Gerald McCoy sits down with us here for the full hour. And we obviously have much to discuss, including the upcoming matchup with the New Orleans Saints. That'll be the next challenge at hand for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Big Easy Sunday at 1 o'clock here. We were just briefly saying off the air. First of all, good evening. Good to see you again.
Good seeing you too, man.
All right.
Everything I don't think right? I can hear myself.
You all right? We need a little more volume?
That is too much volume.
All right. We just want you to be comfortable.
Down, down, down.
All right. As long as you're comfortable.
Great.
All right. As long as you're great.
Great.
We want you to be great. So good evening. Good to see you. And we were just kind of saying off the air that the season is dwindling down now to three regular season games. Hard to believe here. And so there's a lot, obviously, to talk about with these games. They all obviously have significance, but as we get to December, as we get late in the year, there's obviously more significance on all of these games when you're in the hunt. And this will be no different this week, right? Correct?
Oh, yeah. We just got to be on it. We definitely got to be on it. Yep. I think everybody's focusing on Drew Brees' recent struggles and not focusing on the fact that, you know, he's arguably a first ballot Hall of Famer. And if he gets comfortable, he can hurt you. And, you know, I was asked a question today about the Falcons game where he threw five picks. And, you know, they said, are you guys taking any, you know, tips from the Falcons or whatever. I don't think it was more of what the Falcons did, more so of Drew Brees was off his game. Because that guy is, I think he's an amazing player, and it's very difficult to cause him to throw five interceptions.
Sure.
He just kind of was off his game that night. And, you know, from being around the guy in training and, you know, in the offseason, he's going to do his best to make sure that he bounces back from his recent struggles. I can guarantee you that. Something about the Bucs where he just feels like he has to be at his best
right
when he plays us. So we have to be ready for that.
In the case, I mean, and he has thrown a lot of interceptions in this three-game losing streak that they have. I hear you kind of saying it. Is he maybe taking risks that he doesn't normally take? Trying to do too much. I mean, you've talked about that. The head coach has talked about that in different forms and fashions. Don't try to do too much. Is that part of it? Is that part of what you're seeing when you watch what's going on, that he's, you know, maybe throwing into a risky situation that earlier in the year he wasn't throwing into, trying to make too much happen? Fair?
Yeah, I mean, he's the head of that team, and they depend on him, you know, a whole lot. And he's just trying to make something happen. And when you try to make something happen, sometimes it doesn't go as planned.
Well, and one thing that you have talked about, and defensive coaches talk about this all the time, pressure on the quarterback changes everything. Knocking him down, making him throw it a half second or a second before he wants to or gets to look at that defense for one extra half second or a second, it makes all the difference in the world, does it not, when you get pressure on any quarterback, but especially somebody as good as him at diagnosing the defense?
Yeah, with Drew Brees, man, we definitely have to get in his face and disrupt him, man. It's mandatory. Well, that guy, because if you let that guy get comfortable, one, he's a short guy. And, you know, so he struggles to see in the pocket, but if he doesn't feel any pressure up the middle or pressure in general, I mean, he could just sit back there and he could see everything and he could deliver, you know, the bombs downfield or, you know, the quick passes or whatever it is. But if you don't get in his face, I mean, it'd be a long day for you.
Now, to that point, and by the way, we will take your calls as we go along here, whether it's on the Saints game or whatever else you have for Gerald here tonight. If you got questions, comments, we'd love to have them. 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's the number outside of the immediate area that will work wherever you can hear the show. And we've gotten calls all year long on these programs, and specifically with Gerald on Wednesday night, from all over the country and even out of the country. We had a call from Mexico City a few weeks ago from a Buck fan. So again, if the toll-free number will work, 1-800-596-2827 is the number. If you're listening with technology or whatever the case is, find us and dial us up. You can also tweet me a question at Buck's Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Buck's Sideline Guy, to get those along. Speaking of pressuring the quarterback, to go back to the Eagles game on Sunday, you guys were in the backfield as a defense throughout the game, as a defensive line constantly pressuring Nick Foles. You had 6 sacks in that game. Again, for the success that you were able to have, what were you doing well? What can you build on coming off of that? Because it was obviously a huge day in terms of tackles in the backfield for loss and sacks, Gerald.
Yeah, it's a huge momentum builder, and we can use that momentum going into this game, especially with what I just said, with us needing to pressure the quarterback. It was a good day for us, but not to take anything away from the Eagles, the Saints have, you know, I think 3 Pro Bowlers on the front that all have been a Pro Bowl at least once. And then you have a, like I mentioned, arguably a first ballot Hall of Famer. It's going to be a little tougher for us this week, a lot tougher for us. And like I said, Drew Brees, he just – something about when he plays the Bucks, he just – he turns it up, man. I don't know what it is, but he just both times I've played him, he's been on fire.
And so, to verify your point, long before you were here, back in the Gruden days when Drew Brees came there with Sean Payton, they were always knocked down, drag out games for whatever reason with those teams and the Monty Kiffin defenses in those days. And then, of course, we went to the Raheem Morris era and his defense, and now we're to the Coach Schiano era and his defense. They're going against Brees and company. One thing that you said that I don't think can be overemphasized, the pressure up the middle. You were getting a lot of that on Sunday, and just talk more about how not only your own success as defensive tackles, but it frees up the guys on the end a lot of time being single blocked because they start trying to double or triple team you or double and triple team both defensive tackles because of the pressure up the middle. Just elaborate more on how that helps the success of the pass rush and the whole defensive line, Gerald.
Well, you know, the quarterback likes to sit in the pocket. Any quarterback wants to – what they want the offensive lineman to do is to create a pocket. Well, if – it depends on who you're playing, but if a quarterback likes to sit in the pocket, well, if the pocket starts to close in on him right in front of his face, he's going to look to go sideways. Well, if the ends are getting the pressure on the outside, he looks to step up. Well, if the pressure's coming up the middle, he has nowhere to go.
Yep.
And that closes him in, and, you know, it. That's how you see sacks, or that's how you see quarterbacks be forced into bad throws. And, you know, we had a lot of that going on Sunday. And it was just working together, really, is what it was.
Michael Bennett, who we've had in here on Total Access, is having a fantastic season in terms of stats and in terms of sacks. You're with that guy, obviously, every day, meeting room, practice field. Just talk some about being around him and success that he and the whole defensive line obviously works together. You've told us that with whoever can get to the quarterback or get to the ball carrier. But say something about number 71 and the year he's had and being around him.
He's just a hard worker, man. He, you know, he's had a tough road getting to where he's at, but he's fought every day, every year to be in the position he's in. And, you know, he had a big opportunity this year being a, you know, healthy and the starter. And he just, you know, he took on that role, and he's having a phenomenal season, and I'm happy for him.
again, the voice of Gerald McCoy, who is with us here tonight, and we've got plenty of opportunity for you folks to join us. We're also going to talk a lot more about the Saints and the matchup at the Superdome. That'll be the game on Sunday. You can join us on the phones as we go along tonight, and again, you can tweet in your questions as well at Bucks Sideline Guy, B-U-C, Bucks Sideline Guy. We will pause here. We will be back. We will continue on with Gerald here on this Wednesday night. Stay with us on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy on 620 WDAE, the home of the Buccaneers.
11:27 left in the third quarter. They begin this drive at their 40-yard line. Good drive start position. Here's the snap, falls of the shotgun under pressure. He's hit! He's crunched! He's clobbered by Gerald McCoy! Wow! What did Warren Sapp tell G-Mac before the game? That's his second quarterback sack.
Voice of Mean Gene, Gene Deckerhoff on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
He's got the greatest voice ever.
We love...
He's got the greatest voice.
I would concur. We love Mean Gene on the calls, and we were he was making mention of that because we were privileged to have, with the Super Bowl reunion, a lot of the guys stopped by the radio booth. Warren Sapp was actually in the radio booth in the first quarter, throughout the first quarter of the game, and so they were talking about him working with you and what he sees out of you and those kind of things. So it's kind of fitting, a couple of sacks from Gerald McCoy, third time in your career, a multiple sack game there on Sunday against the Eagles. Welcome back. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on this Wednesday night. You can join us again on the phones, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. So let's get to some questions and comments from the fans. Here's Thomas starting us off tonight in Tampa. You're on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Thomas.
Hey, thank you for the line, Ronnie and Gerald. You know, Gerald, the game was fantastic coming from you. The multiple sack game, you know, your impact was second to none. I hadn't seen you that fired up and that happy to be on a football field in the years that you've been here. I mean, I've seen performances and stuff come out of you, but I haven't seen that joy. And I knew it was in you, but I was just wondering, you know, what was the deal? Was it Sapp and the reunion? Was it, was it a family member talking to you? Something had to happen because there was like a fire lit inside of you that I hadn't seen in years on that Bucs defensive line.
All right. Thomas, thanks. So you were into it. I wouldn't say that you were more into it than normal, but that's Thomas's observation there. So you were having fun getting up off the quarterback and off a running back in the backfield. You were clearly having fun.
Yeah, I definitely had fun. We were in chapel the night before. We were challenged by a chaplain. He asked us a question, and he said, you know, who do you play for? And what do you play for? And he told us, he said, the Bible says, in everything you do, do it wholeheartedly as if you were doing it unto the Lord. So whether that's playing football or being an attorney or you know, whether you work construction or whatever it is, regardless of what it is, you're supposed to do it wholeheartedly and give 100% effort every time you do it, whenever you do it. So he challenged us to, regardless of the outcome of the games from here on out, what would our record be in the wins and losses column when it comes to competing for the Lord? And he said, tomorrow I'm issuing a challenge to see who can come out with a W. And that was just my motivation.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Love that. And I know that's something that's important to you. And you give us some great insight there on that. Now, there were a couple of times where you kind of did the wave kind of with the hand to the ear, the a la Hulk Hogan type thing that we've talked about before. So you did that a couple of times when you got up having fun.
No, it wasn't a wave to the ear. It was a kind of an inside joke we have in locker room.
Is it going to stay inside?
Okay. It is.
All right. Yeah. I'm just checking. But you were clearly
just having fun, and you know, everybody knows that I'm not a – well, I don't know if people know, but I'm going to tell you now. I'm not an arrogant guy by any means, but I was just having fun. And, you know, but I think in the midst of having fun, and this is just me because this is the type of person I am, I think I celebrated in the wrong manner, you know, and I don't even have a celebration dance. But just in the midst of having fun, I think I kind of sidestepped myself from my teammates, which that's not what I'm about. And I kind of, it was kind of a, it looked like it was about me, but it really wasn't. So, you know, but that was just me having fun. But my teammates know I love them. And, you know, on the sideline, you know, before the game, I actually told everybody, I said, if, you know, if you do your job, then this person will play well. And if you do your job, then that person will play well. And then eventually it all comes together and we play well as a team. And, you know, a lot of the success we had as a unit on the defensive line came from somebody else doing their job. So when we got to the sideline, everybody was congratulating each other and actually telling each other thank you because we were working together. But that was just a little analysis on myself.
I like that. And yeah, this is why it's Total Access. And I would say, in fairness to you, I mean, there are all kinds of sack dances that go on, and you know what I'm talking about, and they've been going on for years. The stuff you were doing is no way, shape, or form near any of that. So you're being hard on yourself here tonight. I'm just paying you that compliment.
That's not me.
I understand. There are some people that go absolutely out of their mind after they end up sacking the quarterback, and you just kind of watch that, and then exactly what you're saying where, I mean, is that the team thing or is that about you? I'm just saying in college even, and you see it in high school too where guys do that, and you're wondering that. I mean, that's
– sometimes people score touchdowns and grab the pot line and play golf. I mean, sometimes you see people sign autographs on footballs. I mean, hey, it happens.
Yeah. Well, we're going, obviously, to the Superdome, and you just jogged my recollection of this, where one of the most famous celebrations that got a huge fine from the NFL was Joe Horn, the former Saints receiver. And I got a chance to know him a little bit and interview him son, and he's a fun guy, and he had pre-planned this well before the game where he buried a cell phone under the pad. I don't know if you remember this, but fans are listening might remember it as I recount it here. He buried a cell phone about 3 hours before the game under the pad of the goalpost. And when he scored a touchdown in that end zone, he ran and retrieved the same cell phone from under the pad and mimicked like he was calling someone to celebrate and mimicked like he was on the phone call. Well, it's entertaining. It's funny. All right. Like you're chuckling right now. But then you start contemplating, wait a minute, you got to play the rest of the game. And now somebody on the opposing defense that saw you doing that stuff wants to absolutely take your head off because you were borderline taunting them, Gerald. You know what I'm talking about here.
Yeah,
or
definitely.
If you're a teammate of his standing and watching that, don't you have to be a little concerned? I'm just saying in general circumstances of what are we doing here? You know, if it's about that and not about give the ball to the ref and get ready to kick the extra point. So it goes both ways.
Yeah,
on entertainment.
I mean, it happens, but that's what makes the NFL fun.
I agree. There's some fun.
It energizes the fans. And, you know, that's why people love this game. But, you know, that was just
– I think he ended up getting like a $25,000 fine. So that's the most expensive fake cell phone call maybe in the history of pro football when he did that. Because they wanted to make sure that nobody else did something like that with props and whatever.
You know how long he could pay his cell phone bill with that fine?
That's a lot of cell phone bills, as a matter of fact. Again, it is Buccaneers Total Access, and Gerald McCoy with us on this Wednesday night. Here is Joe in Tampa, here with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, Mr. McCoy? Hey, first of all, I just want to say thanks for the season that you guys are having is phenomenal, you know, in comparison to the past two seasons. I just had a quick question. You guys were talking about the celebrations. I don't know if you know. I don't know how the D-line or the wide receivers, I don't know what kind of relationship you guys have. I imagine it's good. But I was wondering, like, I see every time either Vincent Jackson or one of the receivers makes a touchdown, they do, like, this kind of thing where it looks like they're holding up a cereal bowl and kind of eating out of it. And I was wondering, like, what is that? Like, I don't know if you know anything about that.
I have some insight if Gerald does not know, because a couple of the offensive guys have talked about this. Do you know what he's talking about when they stand up and do that?
Yeah, I know.
A couple players have talked about this on the air. It's the feed me.
Yeah.
feed me the ball or keep feeding me.
Well, when he's eating, you know, Vincent Jackson has this this kind of phrase. I don't know if you guys have heard me say it. Is what do you do with a hungry dog? You feed him.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of his what he's doing. You know, he's saying he's a hungry dog and keep feeding him. And that's really what that is.
Yeah, and interestingly, he's been popped a couple of times and has gotten up and still done it anyway. Mm-hmm. Hey, feed me. I don't care if I got popped right there. Keep feeding me.
Right.
So interesting observation, Joe, that you caught on to that. So there's sometimes is something behind it, and sometimes there's nothing behind it. Just depends on the person and the situation. All right, back to the phones. Eric is also with us tonight on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Eric.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
Good, good. Hey, I just want to say I was at the game on Saturday, and I feel for you guys. It was definitely a tough loss, but keep your head up. You guys are still exciting to watch, and you've definitely been in every ball game this season. So as a Bucs fan, we're all proud of you.
Thanks. Thanks, Eric. Appreciate that.
My question is, you know, I've heard a lot about Coach Giano and just how he gets into the details, and you guys go through a lot of the scenarios in practice. One thing that I saw in the game, and I'm sure a lot of people did, was in the fourth quarter on that illegal procedure call. I just wanted you to kind of walk us through a little bit about what happened then. I know things are going fast and kind of what you guys have seen since then. Have you guys worked on that in practice where, you know, the team's driving and they don't have any timeouts and they need to spike the ball? And, you know, I noticed the substitution. You were on the right hash mark, so I was wondering why the substitution was made. And if you guys have looked at that or practiced that in the past, then I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay. I'm not sure what he means about the illegal procedure call, because that would have been on the offense. Now, he's talking about the one play where there was 12 men on the field and there was a flag thrown, but I don't know what he means about the first one. But go ahead there about the end of the game.
You know, we leave that in our coach's hands. They'll deal with that. But one thing I can say is Coach Giano makes great decisions, and he makes sure we're prepared for any situation. So anything that comes up in the games following, we'll definitely be prepared for it.
And it is something that from the Denver game, I know you guys were working on hustling people in, hustling people out, and the same thing here in this case where you were hustling people in and hustling people out. And there you go. So that was what was attempted to be done there with the substitution.
Yeah.
In that instance, where you're trying to hustle people on the field and hustle people off the field.
I mean, sometimes you get caught.
Yeah. It does happen. And you know, one of the interesting things too about that is the Eagles did not have a timeout, and they made a couple of plays where they're in the middle of the field and the clock is running, and you're not sure if they're going to run up and run a play. You're not sure if they're going to run up and clock the ball like they did at the very end of the game. So there's a lot of craziness sometimes at the end of a game, right? And a lot of crazy things that are happening in 20 seconds or less. We're trying to figure out, are they going to run a play or are they going to spike the ball, right?
Yeah, a lot can happen, man. This is a game of inches, and it goes down. It can go down to the wire week in and week out. So you just got to be ready for anything to happen. And that's why people love this game, because anything can happen. And that's you gotta enjoy that, though. I mean, and you kind of have to expect something out of the norm to happen at the end of a close game. It's kind of expected, you know. It's like an unwritten rule for something to happen. So
I have said this, and it's just from having watched sports for a long time. If you keep watching sports, you're going to see things you've never seen, whether you're talking about football or the NBA or baseball or whatever. You're going to see things that you've never seen before.
What's the guy named Jerome Simpson? Is that his name?
Yes.
Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he did a full front flip and landed in the end zone. I mean, he landed it. I mean,
yeah, right inside the pylon. He was out. He was out in the field of play.
Yes.
Flipped over a defender.
Like a gymnast. Landed on his feet. Yep. And I mean, like, threw his hands in there like it was easy. I mean, it's just like, who he expects? And I mean, he didn't like use anybody to jump over. He just jumped over the guy and landed. I mean, those are the types in pads. Those are the types of things you see in professional sports, and that's why people love them.
All right, again, the voice of Gerald McCoy with us here tonight. Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll free number. Also, you can tweet in questions or comments at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy. We will have more with Gerald, including talking more about the Saints, the opponent for Sunday there at the Superdome, rematch of the game from earlier this year, as the NFC South continues now with another rematch here in this situation at New Orleans. We will be back. It is Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access with Gerald McCoy now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Bucs.
Continue on here on this Wednesday night with number 93, Gerald McCoy. The Bucs get set to take on the New Orleans Saints coming up this Sunday at the Superdome. Now the Mercedes-Benz Superdome, speaking of the Saints. So we'll talk more about that as the show obviously goes along. And by the way, I haven't asked you this off the air, so I might as well hit you with it on there. Have you started any Christmas shopping, any holiday shopping yet?
Wow. I'm done.
Wow. Look at that quick answer.
I'm done.
Did you actually go and shop, or was it all online?
I went. I'm done.
You were just motivated.
I went Black Friday and Cyber Monday. I'm done. I'm cheap.
But, I mean, you were obviously
– I got really good gifts for really good prices. I'm finished.
You were planned out, list?
I'm about to get married, man. I ain't got time to be buying all these gifts. I'm trying to save money for a wedding. So I bought gifts, and I got it over with.
Yeah. All right. So this is, I mean, this is no big deal now for the next couple weeks. Most of the country's going crazy trying to figure out where's the best deal, where's the best sale, how do I get the gift online, how do I get it shipped? You're saying done.
I'm done. Well, you know, and also I had to get it done because my fiance and the kids are leaving early to go home for Christmas. So we have to do our Christmas almost a week early. So we had to get all the kids' gifts, get those out the way, and, you know, all that jazz.
Now, I will say this, you know, a lot of people have different viewpoints, and there's more time to talk about this, but will everybody wait to open the gifts on Christmas, or you're saying you're going to open them before they leave?
Yeah, we're going to let the kids do their gifts before they leave.
Okay.
We went back and forth on whether to do it when they get back, but then we thought about it, and they're going straight from Oklahoma to the Atlanta game, so they won't be back in Tampa for a while, so we got to do it before they leave.
Got to make sure they're taken care of there.
Yeah, the kids, I love them.
990-4620, if you're in Pinella, 727-461-4620, and toll-free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Let's go to Bill, who is with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Bill.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're good.
I had two quick deals. One is we were talking about the touchdown celebration, and the funniest, I don't know what team it was, the funny thing I ever saw was the guy who scored the touchdown sat down on the field and acted like he was driving the bus, and all of the other receivers lined up behind him and sat down single file like they were riding the bus. It was hilarious.
That's funny.
I don't think I remember that. Now, did they get flagged for that, or did they let it go?
No, it wasn't the NFL. It was either college or it might have been an arena bowl, arena game. I don't know, but it was hilarious. It was very funny.
All right.
I wanted to ask about that last play where they killed the clock. Can anybody challenge that? Because I would have bet that they were lined up illegally, you know, as far as not having the tackles covered or too many on the line of scrimmage or something. Is that something that can be challenged?
I don't – you know, that's a great question on whether that can be challenged or not. And actually, in the final seconds, it would be a booth review. They would have to page down to the referee to be able to review it. But I don't – you know, I don't know. That's a great question that we would have to ask on that. So, yeah, you posed a good one.
I don't think that they were lined up legal, but, who can do anything about it now. But, all right, guys, well, have a great week and good luck in the game.
Appreciate it, Bill. Thanks, man.
Now, the interesting thing is if a flag is thrown there, all right, for illegal formation, I believe it can be looked at. I'm talking off the top of my head, but I don't know if you can review whether they were lined up correctly if there's not a flag thrown for it, if that makes sense. So in other words, and again, this would have all been relying on the booth review. There's not a challenge for a head coach in the final 2 minutes of the game. The booth review NFL official would have had to page down to the referee on Sunday, Ron Winter, and say, you need to come look under the hood as to whether the Eagles in that situation were lined up. And the key there in that situation, the clock was running. They're without a timeout. Hypothetically, if they're not lined up right and run the play, guess what? 10-second runoff, mandatory in the rule book, and the game is over. That's why teams like you guys practice that. But I don't, to his question, I don't know if you, and we'd have to look, ask review whether they're lined up right if no penalty had been called. So we'll see if we can get clarification on that at some point.
Yeah, I don't
put
know.
That up. Put
I'm
that
not,
out there.
I'm not sure, but, you know, just the, when we made the tackle, we should have just held him. And made the ref make like some kind of weird, like, you can't hold him down call. I don't know what that is, what right. they would call that, but right. I call it the you can't hold him down call. Like, if you just hold Avant there to where he can't get up, you know, and by the time he lines up, game over.
Right.
Hey, shoot, what's the worst Darn. That could happen? They throw a flag and they get to run the play anyway?
Right.
Hey.
And Mark was laying on him for
he
a
was.
Second or two.
He was.
Because I know you've seen that on the tape.
Yeah, but he kind of snatched away from him. So.
And there were clearly about 8 or 9 seconds left, where 2 or 3 seconds left, it's obviously over. You're going to lay on him, and they're not going to be able to get to the line from 20 yards away to line up, spike right. the ball, run a play, or whatever. But there were 8 or 9 seconds. And to the point, you guys, in practice, more so the offense, work on this. You work on completing a pass in the final seconds, run up, get lined up properly, snap it, spike
you
it,
have
stop
to.
It.
You have to, man, because in a situation like that, if you were to run up to the ball, if you were to make that play and you hadn't practiced running up to the ball and lining up quickly, then you would have got up to the line and been looking for everybody to line up and the game would have been over, you know?
Right.
So you have to practice those types of situations.
Yeah, and again, at the end of games, it oftentimes comes down to being able to get the clock stopped because – in that case, you don't have a timeout left. That was a fourth down play, too. People may have forgotten that here in the last couple of 3 days where, again, they get the first down. Now they've got to get the clock stopped wherever it is because he didn't get in the end zone. And if they're not lined up right, they would have run by rule the last 10 seconds. And the reason they have that in the rules, we should explain this, is they don't want a team to be able to benefit from doing something on purpose for a penalty to stop the clock.
Right.
So let's say you're not going to be able, hypothetically, to get everybody up there and lined up, and the center and the quarterback and maybe one other player could sprint up there with the receiver, act like they're lining up and spike the ball, and they'd be more than willing to take the 5-yard penalty to stop the clock
right.
if that's the case there in the waning seconds. So that's why a few years ago the NFL put that stipulation in. If you're the offense – and the clock is running in the final 2 minutes, and you do something, you actually have a choice. If you have a timeout left, you can choose to burn the timeout, or you can take the 10-second runoff.
Yeah, so the 10-second runoff rule is – that's pretty crazy, man, but it could work in your favor too.
Yeah, you have to have that there because what they – and I believe there were even a couple of games and a couple of instances where teams did something illegal purposely with the clock running just to get the clock stopped and were willing to take the 5-yard penalty – because the most important thing was don't let the game run out.
Yeah.
In that instance, you got to do something to do that. Again, you can join us on the phones, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS. And you can also tweet me a question at Bucks Sideline Guy, BUC, Bucks Sideline Guy, or if you've got a comment. As well. Hey, speaking of this time of year, I know you have done some things, and a lot of the Buccaneers have done some things in the community. I don't know if you did anything this Tuesday, but in the last couple of weeks, you guys, as an organization, have been going around to schools and different charities and whatever. Just say something about that and why it's important to you and your teammates and the organization to give back to the community this time of the year.
Well, for me personally. There's no better way to show your faith than the work you do with people. And any free time I get, I try and, you know, give it to somebody else who, you know, you never know what they may need to see you smile. They may need to hear a few kind words, or just be in your presence. You never know what a person needs from you in order to go on. And, you know, I just try and keep that in mind, not at just at this time of the year, but year round. And it's not just me, but that's how this organization works. And the great thing about our head coach is he doesn't just coach us to be, you know, elite football players. He coaches us to be elite human beings. And that's why I have so much respect for him. So, I mean, it starts from the top down, from the Glazers all the way down.
Yeah, I know on Sunday they were collecting toys for the Toys for Tots. They were also taking donations for food for the SAC Hunger Campaign. And by the way, you guys racked up in conjunction with United Healthcare and the Buccaneer Radio Network. They donate sacks of groceries for all the sacks. So a six sack game on Sunday provided a lot of groceries through United Healthcare and the Buccaneers Radio Network to that's needy cool. families. So that's good on that too. But yeah, we've had collections the last couple of weeks at the stadium. I know they'll be doing that prior to the Rams game a couple of days before Christmas. They're on the 23rd. So yeah. Giving back is an important thing.
It is. Even as most as recently, yesterday, I was able to be a part of an event that Mark Barron was the head over, delivered sports equipment collected at our most recent home game. We gave it to a local family enrichment center, and it was great, man. I had a blast, man. It was fun. And it was funny to see the kids come on stage, and we had all different types of sports equipment. And, you know, you see a little boy come up, and it'll be a basketball. And it'll be a white and pink basketball. And he'll look at it, and he'll be like, I don't want pink.
Right.
I want that one. And it was fun. It was fun, man. And I had a blast. I love kids, man. I had a blast with it. It was me, Raelius Ben. Well, it was Mark Barron's event. And then I was fortunate to be able to go. Raelius Ben, Myron Lewis, and DJ Ware. And we had a lot of fun.
Neat. So there's a little taste of what the Buccaneers are doing in the community here in the Tampa Bay area. Back to the phones. Dwayne has been hanging in there in Sarasota. You're on with Gerald McCoy on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Dwayne.
Hi, Gerald. How you doing? Sorry I have to ask you this question. I know how painful it must be for you to think about Sunday's game. It was painful for me to watch as well. But on two questions. One's about the game, one's about the overall defense. On the fourth and five, on the final drive they did against you guys, what defense did you guys have called against them? And what was your specific assignment in it? And over the last 13 games, I got to be honest about this, and this isn't so much on you or anybody really, but over the last 13 games I've been watching you guys, your all's blitz packages, from what I've seen, really haven't been that effective. So instead of putting together blitz packages that are taking a couple of guys out of coverage, you know, I just assume watch you four guys up front try to apply the pressure. Now, I might be wrong, but that's basically what I've seen over the last 13 games, except for the one time we took Biggers in and he sacked Matt Ryan. And I'll let you respond, guys, okay? Thanks for being a Buccaneer.
All right, Dwayne. On the first part, I can already help out that you aren't going to talk about what the defense was or what your role is. That's not going to happen. So on the stuff about getting after the quarterback, you know, fans all have their opinions. Obviously, you guys had six sacks a week ago. So there was success with what you were doing.
Yeah. Dwayne, first and foremost, thank you for being a Bucs fan. And, you know, I could hear the concern. And if you didn't care or not a true fan, you know, the concern wouldn't be there. So, first and foremost, I appreciate that. Secondly, you know, our coaches, I truly believe, and we all believe, they put together a magnificent game plan week in and week out. You know, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But, you know, we don't always blitz on passing downs. And honestly – our blitz packages have been working, and that's why we've been number one in the league in stopping the run, you know, with the different game plans they put together and the things we've done. You know, everybody wants to look at what we're not doing, but I think that gets overlooked when you mention the blitz package, because a lot of our blitzes hit on those first and second downs. And, you know, just looking at the positives of the game, Philly had, you know, 29 yards rushing or something like that. And they were, what were they, like fifth in the league in big runs or something like that?
Right.
I mean, so, you know, our blitz packages have been more effective than people think. And, you know, our coaches, they're going to continue to coach what they coach, and we're going to continue to run what's coached, and we believe in it, and that's what we're going
to
do.
One of the interesting things before we go to the timeout here, and this is why we love sports radio and fans and call-in, and the internet now has become prevalent with this. When you guys, going back to the Saints' first game, when you guys played the Saints the first time, and the head coach was talking about this on Monday, when you played the Saints the first time, you didn't blitz an awful lot in that game. You used a lot of three-man rushes, and Drew Brees was able to have success because he had time to throw. And what was the topic on sports radio and the internet and everywhere that week? Why didn't you blitz more? Why didn't you blitz more? Why didn't you blitz more? And the point that I'm making is, whenever you do something and it does not succeed, then fans are automatically going to say, why didn't you do the other thing? That's why it's fans. That's why it's talk radio. That's why it's the internet, right?
Well, you know, and like I said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. One thing you can't do as one of the players or one of the people inside the organization is wear your feelings on your shoulders, because people are entitled to their opinions, and they're going to have one, and they're going to stress them when they get an opportunity too. So just because this is a person's opinion and this is how they feel, you can't get upset or say, well, you don't know what you know, just accept their opinion and go on. I mean, Dwayne, he felt he had a valid point, and you know, I wasn't going to knock him. I mean, he's a Bucs fan, and he's a true fan. And our Buccaneers true fans are going to stress their opinions, and that's how you know they're real fans, because they're concerned. It's not like he called in just to tear the Bucs down. He called in with a concern because he wants us to be as good as possible, and that's why I love people like Dwayne, because he's a true fan.
There you go. There's Gerald McCoy on Buccaneers Total Access. Again, we'll come back, wind things down, maybe have time for another call or two, and talk a little more about the Saints as we continue on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Gerald McCoy on 620 WDAE, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, we are back here for our remaining few moments. If you're on the phones, hang on. We'll try to get to you. If we are not able to, we'll try there next week there with Gerald. But we'll try to get to as many of you as we can.
Sure.
Here in the final couple of moments of the show. Saints, the opponent this week, loud environment, obviously, there, particularly when we have the ball. When the Bucs have the ball, it's going to be a loud environment. But what is that like as a player? You went into the Metrodome earlier this year. You've been in the Georgia Dome. Anytime you're in a dome environment, what's that like as a player? Because there seems to be a lot more noise and a lot, you know, it seems to be a bigger factor, let's say.
You can't get away from the noise. I mean, that's one of the loudest places, if not the loudest place. I think the loudest I've been, place I've been as far as the NFL goes, would maybe be Minnesota. And it was, you know, after a little whatever happened on the field.
Donald Penn, Jared Allen.
Right.
Got to go.
And, you know, that place, man, I couldn't even hear the person next to me talking. Literally, like, I couldn't hear him. It was so loud in there. But, you know, New Orleans gets – it's ridiculous how loud it gets in there.
And again,
it's ridiculous we're not how loud fuel it gets in there.
Hey, look, we're not going to fuel them anymore by saying this. They're already loud and bonkers, but it's right. Loud. It's the loudest place. I had a friend of mine, to your point, who had never been to a game in the Superdome. He was at the 49ers game 2 weeks ago, Saints and 49ers. He said that is the loudest place I have ever been to for anything, including rock concerts in arenas, including anything. He said my head hurt for hours after the game from how loud it is as a fan. He's sitting in the stands with how loud it was.
It's loud.
Much less trying to play. So it's obviously Mike Williams was in here on Monday night saying that for the offense, you're standing in the huddle with Josh Freeman trying to call the play, and he's right in front of you, and you're having to read his lips.
Yeah.
You're having to get right up next to him to make sure that you heard the play correctly.
Yeah.
It's that loud, right?
It gets like that, man. It's insane in there.
All right, back to the phones quickly. Steve in Venice, you are next here on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Gerald. How you doing tonight?
All right, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Real quick, I love the way you played this week. And you're talking about Mean Gene and his voice earlier. Your voice, you're so mellow. You could probably make CDs for people with insomnia when you retire.
or little ones that need to go to sleep.
Right.
Have Joe
exactly.
Sleep. Exactly.
You know, you love kids. You can tell bedtime stories. Anyways, real quick, being so laid back like you come across on the radio on Wednesday, how do you step up to play the game on Sunday in a violent sport? You know, what do you do to turn it on? Because you come across so mellow.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm a laid-back guy, but I love to have fun. And anybody who's been around me knows that, you know, I'm going to tell some jokes. I'm going to do a lot of talking. But I am pretty just like, you know, I love people. So that's why I get, you know, that's why I talk so much, because I just love talking to people. But for games, it's easy for me because – like I said, my faith is very strong, and I truly believe this is a gift I've been given by God, and this is my platform to use to reach people. So, and I can reach as many people. I want to reach as many people as I can with this platform I've been given. So when I go out there to play a game, my only motivation is to glorify God's name with how hard I play and everything I do. So that's why it's easy for me to get up for a game, even though I could be chill and relaxed and, you know, I could just not say anything. But as soon as it's time to go, I could turn it on because I know what my motivation is and what my purpose is when I go out there and play.
How about that?
Thank you so much.
No problem, Steve.
You know, it's interesting, the parallels here. You are obviously playing defensive tackle for the Buccaneers.
Right.
You played at Oklahoma.
Right.
When you were just saying that, and you've heard this before, Leroy Selman, the original Buccaneer, came to this team as a defensive tackle from Oklahoma, and it was so amazing to be around Leroy and see how mild-mannered he was and to hear his teammates talk about this, about how humble, how mild-mannered, how calm he was. And then long about noon on Sunday for a 1 o'clock kickoff, Leroy would flip a switch on, and his teammates would talk about this, and become almost a different human being for about 4 hours.
I mean, like,
until the game was over.
I've seen some of his film, and I had a great opportunity. I was very blessed to be able to be around him,
mm-hmm.
You know, while he was here. And that guy was one of the just most laid-back, nicest, most humble people I've ever met. But then I watch his film, and he's, like, grabbing guys by
uh-huh.
their neck and just, like,
uh-huh.
you would think he's just, like, an angry person, but – you know, then you talk to him. I'm sure they would talk to him after the game, and he's just like, you know, he had a real low voice, and he wasn't a very loud guy. And I mean, it happens, but his motivation was the same as mine. When I talked to him, he played for the same reasons I played. And, you know, people have this, you know, it's kind of misunderstood. I think it's a misconception that, you know, Christian guys, you know, they have to be, you know, kind of softer guys. When you're playing for God, you should be the most fierce guy out there because mm-hmm. of what you're playing for. I mean, so look at Reggie White. I mean, he had the meanest hump move. Like,
right.
I mean, you just see it around the league. Tommy Harris was another one of those guys. I mean, that guy was just an animal. I mean, so it was just –
funny story about Reggie White. Dave Moore, our radio analyst, former tight end, he tells this story all the time about playing the Packers and trying to block Reggie White. And one of the main things they would try to do, speaking of angry, don't get Reggie angry, because Reggie would play more would play even more fierce when he was angry. But Reggie would get worked up, and he would literally start saying at the line of scrimmage, "Here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus." And they could hear it on the offensive line. They could hear it with him saying that.
I bet.
So it was part of his motivation. Listen, we've got to go in about 60 seconds. Give me 30 seconds here on Playing the Saints. Say something to the Buck fans about battling on. Let's go. Here we go. To the Saints on Sunday, right?
I'll see you in New Orleans.
There you go. All right, so that's all he wants to give us. Get out of here.
See you in New Orleans,
Be well, and thank you again. There's Gerald McCoy on a Wednesday night here with us on Buccaneers Total Access. Saints and Bucks Sunday at 1. We're on the air at noon. My thanks to Eric Sachs helping out back at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. Alan Barrett, too, with an assist tonight as well. I'm TJ Reeves. Thanks for being with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.